Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, a text we have visited in our personal revival study a few times already, but we will do again so this morning, along with a couple other texts. I'm going to read this text, and then I will read maybe one or two more, and then we will see if you can figure out the title for the lesson based upon the text. But Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of heaven, in heaven, and the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Just look for a common thread this morning to see if you can see where we're going with this, talking about personal revival, walking with the Lord. And what we're really doing is looking at the Lord's life here while he was on earth, and specifically toward the latter part of his life when he was on the road to Calvary, on the road to give his life for the ransom for many, as the scripture says. But in Matthew 20, verse number 20, the Bible says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I shall be baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came to be not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." And one other text, it's the parallel passage to what we just read there, but in Mark chapter 10. So we see in Philippians 2, there the Lord humbling himself and becoming a servant and coming to this earth in the form of a man, and in here he's instructing his disciples when they were debating who was the greatest and wanting to have a preeminent position in the kingdom of God. He was teaching them a lesson, and we'll see the parallel passage here in Mark chapter 10, verse 35-45. "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right, thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not of mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see a common theme in those three texts there. The lesson the Lord was teaching them, one by example in Philippians chapter 2, and then by lesson of articulation telling them in those two passages there in Matthew and Mark. What is the Lord teaching the disciples here? Humility is one major thing. Look at verse 45. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. If we're going to be right with God, walking with the Lord, being revived and full of the Holy Spirit, what did the Lord come to do? He came to serve, not to be served. And the same goes for us. And I really mean this as I looked over this again. This morning, you know, it hit me of how often it goes against my nature to do that. We serve others, but we get tired or we get frustrated. We get, you know, but you see the Lord, He gave His life not for Himself, but for others. And that's the example we're to follow. And if we're going to be right with God, you know what, we're going to have to, first and foremost, serve the Lord. And secondly, that is done. How do we serve? What's some ways we serve the Lord? What's that mean? Give by serving others is one of the primary, especially the household of faith, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the ways we serve the Lord, one of the greatest ways, is by serving one another. Preferring one another before ourselves, as the Scripture says. And so, you know, the New Testament, it gives us direction that we're expected to take the position of a servant. It is not something that we do extra or when we feel like it. It is at the heart of who we are as Christians. And so, from the Scripture, you know, just being a servant is not something we do when we have time or when we feel like it. That's who Christ was, and the term Christian is Christ-like. If we're going to be like Him, if we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, guess what we're going to have to do? Be a servant. Being a servant is humbling, it's self-emptying. Only those who live with that purpose under the shadow of the cross and under Calvary, contemplating the humility and brokenness of the Lord, will be able to be willing to be servants. So in essence, the only way we're going to be able to be servants, true servants of the Lord, is to remind ourselves of the Lord, to look at Him. Even in the very end of His life, as He was going to the cross, He still took time. On that last week of His life, when He was on the road into Jerusalem, you see a lot of the miracles performed of our Lord, raising of Lazarus. You see other instances, Him taking time, stopping to serve others. When and how often we get busy and say, well, I really don't have time for this, or to, I'd like to, and, I say this for my sake, the Lord has convicted me of some of these things, even in the study of this. Because we do get busy. We have a lot going on. But ultimately, if I want to be like Christ, I have to be willing to stop and to serve others. And I haven't always done that. There's some of you that have called me, and I haven't got back to you in a timely fashion. Yes, I'm busy, but guess what? If I'm going to be like Christ, sometimes that means inconveniencing myself to take time to serve others. And I've not always done that. So, understanding, you know, being a servant, there's two type of servants mentioned in the Scripture. One is, in the Old Testament, you'll see hired servants. Those were servants they paid them wages, and they had some privileges, they had some rights. And then there was what they call a bond servant. Do you know what a modern day term for a bond servant is? Or even in the definition, when you look it up, do you know what the definition of bond servant is? Slave. What, you know, and we're, you know, you hear a lot in our culture, and you can look throughout history, and we're not dealing with that particular subject this morning. But the point being is, a bond servant is a slave. Now, who are we slaves to? To the Lord. And He's not an ill taskmaster. He's the greatest of taskmasters. And so we are bond servants. And what that means simply is, you know what? If I'm a bond servant of the Lord's, that means I have no rights. I have no privileges. I shouldn't do it deserving anything. The Lord doesn't owe any man. He's not a debtor to anybody. He doesn't owe me anything. The Hebrews were forbidden to make bondservants of their own race. They could only do this with the Gentiles. But in the New Testament, the word for servant of the Lord is bondservant. And that we belong to the Lord. Do you remember 2 Corinthians 6:19-20? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God, that you've been bought with a price? You know, we belong to the Lord. And so, and the Lord, as we read there in Philippians, became the greatest of all bondservants, being treated as the Father saw fit, without rights and with much malice from men, and we are bond servants of His. And look at His disposition. He was humble, and He submitted Himself to the Father's will, and that's what we are to do. A servant, servanthood to the Lord is exercised and expressed, as I said earlier, by serving others. And the low position we take toward our Lord is judged by Him by the low position we take in our relationship with our fellows. So what I'm saying by saying that is the position that we take in serving others is how the Lord judges us as far as our service to Him. Now turn with me, and we'll spend the remainder of our time in this text, and I hopefully can get my thoughts straight. A little tired and foggy this morning, even having trouble seeing my Bible, but with the Lord's help, hopefully we can bring a little order to some of the chaos here. But the term, looking at a bond servant here, look at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Verse number 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, so here's the disciples. They go to the Lord and say, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. How do we have more faith? Now notice the response that the Lord gives to them. It's kind of strange, if you will, to our... And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey. So he first tells them a familiar passage that most of us have heard childhood stories on, the parable of the grain of the mustard seed, and how the mustard is the smallest of all seeds, but yet, in faith, just the smallest little bit of faith can do great things. But notice, in order to have that grain of mustard seed, notice what he says. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So, remember, in the biblical times here, that they had bond servants, they had slaves. And he gives them the example here. He said, you've got this bond servant, he's a slave of yours, and he's been out in the field working all day. And the day is done from the labor in the field, and you come in, and instead of telling him to go get cleaned up and get ready for bed or take care of himself, you say to him, hey, go make me something to eat. And then, once he's made you something to eat, don't say, well, take it easy. He said, no, set the table, you know, serve me. And then after all this, you can eat. And you know, when you look at this from the naked eye, you look at it from a natural man's perspective, when I look at this, my mind goes a lot of different directions rather than what the context of is being taught here. You don't see the bondservant rebelling against his master. You don't see him saying one odd word. You don't see him not doing that. He does those things, and he's not thanked for. And so we can see a few marks of servanthood in this text. First of all, we must be willing to put others before ourselves. Secondly, we must be willing to be overlooked and not thanked for what we do. Thirdly, we must be willing to not charge others with being selfish or inconsiderate. We must not be prideful or self-congratulating over what we have done. And fifthly, we must be willing to admit with meekness and humility that all that is done is our duty. If you and I really want to be full of the Holy Spirit and walk with the Lord and have revival, we'll have to follow the example set before us here in this text in servanthood. Number one, you look at it there in that text. He's working in the field, and the master comes, tells him to prepare the meal, and then set the table before he could eat. Did he expect anything else? The text doesn't tell us that. That was what was expected of him. That's what he did. But so often we, and I will say me, and not for the sake of being selfish, but really when I looked at this, it started to set home with me, even in this very week, of how contrary to the text that I'm sharing with you this morning that my life had been. We are unwilling to do this. We murmur, we may do it. We may serve others. You know why? Well, it's the Christian duty. It's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I know the Bible teaches that. And so we may do it. But what do we do as we're doing it or after we've done it? We grumble. We complain. We murmur about it. We're unwilling to do this without that. And when we complain that so much is expected of us and murmur about this, you know what we're acting as if? Acting as if we have rights. Now, let me say the reverse of that. As a Christian, we should not expect people, allow people to just totally spend themselves in serving us. You know, if I have a heart to serve the Lord, and I want to serve Sister Jana, that Sister Jana claims to be a Christian, she should have a heart for the Lord and want to be a service to me and to one another. And that goes for all of us. We shouldn't let the pastor burn himself out here in this community and in the ministry here. Vice versa, though, the pastor just can't sit back and do nothing. He has a responsibility to do his part, and every one of us to do that. But how often are we unlike this servant here, you know? Wait a minute, you don't realize how much is on me. I mean, I'm tired. And like I said, to just be very transparent, these things hit home to me. You know, I've had a hard, hard week at work, really. I'm tired. I'm even struggling to see the words But, you know, I don't help Rebecca like I should with the kids a lot of times at nighttime. But just because I've come home doesn't mean my duty is done. Actually, it really, my true duty begins. You don't see the servant here doing that. Say, wait a minute, I just worked out in the field. I did my part. No, take care of yourself. No, he does what he's told to do. And you know what? It does seem contrary, but if we'll do this, because it's from the Scripture and you see the Lord's example, the Lord, you can find contentment. You can find happiness. Now, we may be tired. Now, you do need to rest. We need rest if we're going to serve one another. But secondly, what stuck out to me was the servant did this and was not thanked for it, nor did he expect to be thanked for it. Now, a lot of times we may allow people to pile a lot on us, you know, in the Christian service. We may do a lot in the name of the Lord. But the second somebody doesn't say, thank you, Beth, or thank you for this or that, we get offended, don't we? We get upset as if they owed it to us. No, it is our reasonable service to serve the Lord and serving others and to doing for others. We have self-pity. We complain that we are being taken for granted. And we may be. But was that not what they did with our Lord? Hired servants, they have some privileges. They have some rights. They can expect some wages. But a bond servant has none. And you know what we are? Each and every one of us that are truly born again Christians, we're bond servants of the Lord. He owes us nothing, neither does anyone else. We owe Him everything. And we should be willing to do that. But thirdly, this stuck out to me when I read this account again. The master seemed, in my opinion, really selfish and inconsiderate, you know? When you look at it from the naked eye, and in our Western culture, we're so far removed from a biblical time frame, and I'm not advocating for slavery. That's not what I'm saying. But honestly, when we look at servanthood, that's what they were hired to do. That's what they were. That was their duty. And there was no charge of this from the bondservant. You know, he never said, hey, you know what? You're the most selfish person that I've ever met. What did he do? He just went to work, come home, prepared the meal, set it before his master, and then ate and took care of himself last. You know what? For us as Christians, that's where true joy is found. And we've shared that with you, you know. But joy, Jesus first, others second, yourselves last. You know why many of us don't have joy? Because we got it backwards. And I put myself there. I put me first. And then if I get time for others, and then what little is left over for the Lord. But you don't see that. The master did. He seemed very selfish. But you know what he realized and understood? He existed to serve, and his purpose and his duty there was to serve in the interest of his master. So we may do step one and two. We may allow a lot to be piled on us. We may do a lot. We may even be willing to be unthanked. But does it enter our mind how selfish the other people are or that person is? The bondservant finds a way in that selfishness to serve the Lord in a greater capacity. And fourthly, what's he say? Doing all this, I'm still just what? An unprofitable servant. The bondservant, the slave, was doing what was their duty to do. But, you know, and we can't do that in and of ourselves. It goes against nature to serve others and put everyone before yourself. It, you know, hey, I need a little time for me. And as I said, you do need some rest, but ultimately our purpose in life is to serve the Lord, and that is done by serving others. But he don't take credit for doing all these things and say, well, you know, I did this, and congratulate himself. He realized that the ability he had to do these things was given to him from the Lord. And you know what? If we're able to serve others, we're able to continue on and to do stuff, it's nothing within us. Not Paul said, in my flesh I can do no good thing. You know? We can't do anything. So anything that we're done is able to be done through us for the glory of God and in serving others, it's done through the power of God. It's God that does it. We're still just unprofitable servants. Do you realize, really, we live in a culture that is so inundated with man, and that man is the epitome of all things. And really, you realize what the Scripture says? Man is just but a worm. You think about a worm. We don't even think about stepping on a worm or stepping over it. And that's what really man is when we compare it to God. We're nothing. But we live in a culture that worships man. Everything was created by him and for him. And if we're going to be happy in the things of the Lord, we're going to be revived, you know what? We're going to have to put him first and serve him. Not serve ourselves, but to serve him. And to realize that we can't do that. Our natural hearts are proud and stubborn. But really, we can't do anything unless the Lord gives us the ability. And then lastly in this, he just done what was his duty. God made man that he would be God, that he would be God's bondservant. You know what? You don't find Adam and Eve prior to sin, that you don't see any mention of them being unhappy or disgruntled. You don't see anger. You don't see any form of sin or discontentment. And yet, they were accomplishing exactly what God had called for them to do. And when sin entered in, then you find all these negative things. You know what? For you and I, if we will place ourselves back to where we should be as a bondservant of the Lord, in His service, what we were created for, to serve the Lord and to serve others, we can find ourselves happy, content, and joyful. Maybe tired, but very pleased with it. Our lifestyle. God made man that he may be that manservant. And man's ultimate sin is his refusal to be God's manservant, bondservant. He done what he was created for. You know, and contrary to what the world tells us, the Bible tells us the way up is what? Down. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that serves others. What's the Lord tell them when we read those two instances there in Matthew and Mark? You want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Be the least to all men. It doesn't matter who sits on the left or on the right or who has the we're all servants of the Lord. To serve one another. So find opportunities. Not to be served, but to serve. And I say that not just to you, but to me. And the way to do this is not a better resolve. Well, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to, you know what? No, it's a repentance. As I openly told you. I'll be very honest. Like I said, I had a hard, hard week at work. I was tired. I come home last night, about 9 o'clock. And Rebecca's trying to get the schoolroom ready for the girls. She's worked hard down there cleaning out a room. And she had found some chairs, being very frugal, online for pretty reasonable. And she said, hey, the guy's leaving out tomorrow. I need to be able to get these chairs. And I told her, I said, well, go ahead and go get them. And she said, well, can you bathe the girls and get them to bed? And you know what went through my mind? I've just worked 13 hours today, very hard, worked all week. I haven't ate dinner. And you want me to bathe the kids? You want me to put them to bed? I didn't say anything, but that's what went through my mind. You know what? She's tired. You know how often she does that? Almost daily. And to ask me to do it once, and wait a minute, I did it. But I have no reward in that because for several reasons. One is I didn't do it with the right heart initially. Now, I wasn't angry. I really wasn't angry. I was just tired. But also, you know what? That is my duty. God has been good to me, giving me four little girls. And it's a privilege to go in there and to be able to bathe them. There'll be a day I won't have that. So when it, you know, the Christian service, the Christian life is tough. It's tiring. And it can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. I realized then and there, you know what? The reason this is so tough, you're trying to do it all by yourself. And you can't. You will not be able to serve others if you try to do it with more resolve or on your own. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we look for opportunities to serve one another. And like I said, a true Christian, the Lord didn't allow them to serve Him a lot. You know, when it come time to wash feet, whose feet got washed? It wasn't the Lord's, was it? And if we have the true heart of Christ, yes, it's okay to allow people to do for us occasionally. But ultimately, our heart and our duty is to serve others. And in doing so, we are serving the Lord. So, may we serve the Lord by serving one another. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I realize the very things that I have attempted to teach your people this morning, though weak and frail in words, the person teaching these things needs this more than anyone here. Forgive me, Lord, for begrudging the privilege you've given me in serving you by serving others. Thank you for my family. Thank you for our church. Lord, may we have the opportunity to serve others and do it in a way that's pleasing to you and imitating to you, that imitates you, that others may see Christ in us. Lord, I pray for those in our midst that are struggling, that are downcast. We can get like that so often. May we get our focus off of circumstances, off of the world, off of ourselves, and up on you. Lord, help us to be greater servants of you, for you are worthy. Pray that you'd be pleased with the services here this day. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.